Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And just like that, it is summertime, 73 degrees, sunny, beautiful afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. This is 1320 WILS. Welcome to the program. On today's show, can children be psychopaths? Well, it's starting to look that way as researchers now begin to focus on what they've labeled callous and unemotional children. I'll talk to a doctor who knows just how remarkably manipulative they can be. And the CEO of Yahoo losing his job because he lied on his resume. But does that really happen regularly? And just how seriously do potential employers view a little embellishment on a resume? Well, we'll be talking to a hiring expert to find out. But first, does Michigan's alcohol distribution system and its regulations really enhance public health and safety? The Mackinac Center for Public Policy today releasing a briefing that says absolutely not. This is as the State Liquor Control Advisory Rules Committee considers ways to structurally change the system. To talk about what isn't working and what needs to be changed, I'm joined by Michael Lefebvre. He is the Mackinac Center's Director of Fiscal Policy. Mike, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you note in the briefing that when it comes to liquor control, there are 32 licensed states and 18 control states. Michigan is one of those. Can you briefly tell me how these two systems are structurally different?
Yes. After Prohibition, states took one of two regulatory routes, the control state approach versus the licensed state approach. In a control state, the state actually sets itself up to be the wholesaler of some type of alcohol, whether it's liquor or wine, or in Montgomery County, Maryland, actually beer as well. Whereas in licensed states, the majority of them, 32 of them, the states simply license those who are engaging in the alcohol trade in that particular state. It's a much lighter regulatory touch, and one that I think Governor Snyder's administration could look to if it wants to develop ideas for reforming Michigan's own system.
So what is the major drawback to being a control state?
Well, for consumers, the major drawback is an increase in prices. For Michigan, we've seen liquor prices between 3.6 and over 6% higher than in licensed states, in part due to the fact that when the state acts as wholesaler, it is in a unique position to goose up the price through a markup without actually calling it a tax. Here in Michigan, for instance, after the state buys liquor for its citizens, before it's distributed to retailers, it gooses up the price 65%. That's just a markup.
So is the state making additional revenue in this role? I mean, is it actually bringing more money into the state?
It does generate revenue. In fact, that's one of the reasons that Governor Engler could not fully privatize the system, or perhaps didn't even want to when he had the opportunity back in the 90s. He actually was able to privatize the warehousing and distribution component of the state's wholesale system, but did not let go of the actual buying, because with the 65% markup and related taxes, the state can generate more revenue than it might otherwise with the licensed system.
Any idea of how much revenue the state of Michigan generates through this control system?
It depends on how you measure it. A couple years ago, I believe that there was something like $900 million in total liquor sales across the state. What that netted out to for the general fund and other treasuries, I do not know. But one thing is for sure, the government so heavily involves itself in the trade that by the time you get your favorite bottle of tipple to the counter, the majority of the purchase price is going to end up in some government treasury somewhere.
I'm talking to Michael Lefebvre. He is the Director of Fiscal Policy for the Mackinac Center of Public Policy. So other than the state, are there other interests involved right now that want to keep things as they are and have us remain a control state?
Oh, absolutely. There's some very well-intentioned, but I think misguided teetotalers and others who want to continue suppressing consumption as they see it. One way they think they can suppress consumption, and they might have a point here, is by maintaining artificially high prices for our alcohol. But it's not a slam dunk as much as they would like to think it is. You have, for instance, a smuggling issue. Right here in Michigan, the Michigan Liquor Control Commission itself has admitted that they lose $14 million a year in markup and tax revenues due to the smuggling of alcohol because Michigan's prices are relatively higher than neighboring states like Indiana. So so they're not, the suppression is not a, quite what they think it is.
So in terms of being a controlled state, though, does that allow for more aggressive regulations by the state than if it were to be a licensed state?
Well, yeah, I think by definition there are more aggressive regulations because the state is acting as wholesaler, so right off the bat there is. But we also think that states who choose to be control states probably have a heavier hand in other facets of the overall alcohol control market simply because that willingness to act as wholesaler suggests to us that they'd be willing to do far more other things than licensed states. Michigan can be compared not only in terms of license and control state dichotomy, but in terms of other areas of not only regulation, but punishment for abusing alcohol as a driver or as a, you know, an adult mm-hmm. in the street.
Now, I do want to ask you, though, about the when it comes to health and safety of the public, do you agree that some regulations are necessary? I know that this you refer to several studies regarding retail density regulations and how they weren't what maybe some people would assume, that having more bars doesn't necessarily mean a less safe environment for drinkers. But what kind of regulations do you support?
Well, the regulations to restrict access to minors, for instance. You know, other nations have a much more liberalized view of minors getting access to alcohol, but even then there is far more, there's still more oversight than simply providing them with their access directly to the alcohol. And I also support actual police interventions, sobriety tests, and punishment. The assuredness of actual punishment if you are caught abusing alcohol. For instance, I think it's Arizona. The first time you get busted driving with an alcohol limit higher than what is permitted by law, they stick a device on your car that you have to blow into to prove that you have not been drinking before the car will start. It's automatic. And it's that type of punishments that I think help rein in abuses.
Well, although those are criminal, right? These are not issues involving the actual distribution system.
Oh, that's correct. You know, I'd have to take these on a case by case basis as the law, you know, as each law is presented to me. But I think that it's clear from the activities of other states, the regulations in other states, and their related health and safety outcomes, that Michigan could be far more liberal. That could, it could liberalize its law to a far greater degree than it is mm-hmm. now in terms of alcohol and still maintain a very healthy and safe environment for adults and children alike.
Now, the reforms that the Liquor Control Advisory Rules Committee is now considering, do you have any sense of what they are and what kind of an outcome do you expect to come from that?
You know, I can only talk about the rumors that I've heard and the recommendations we've made. I have not seen any recommendations, though I understand there's a list floating around out there somewhere. And the one item I can consistently hear about is the item to repeal what's called the half-mile rule. It's actually in statute, and it prevents one liquor store from being located within a half-mile of another liquor store, with a few exceptions. And I think that might be on the docket for items to be repealed from state law. Naturally, opponents of reform are not going to like that particular one because, as we've seen them actually in writing and in quotes, they argue that easier access to alcohol means more alcohol problems. What we show in our policy brief today was that on this particular item, with regard to retail density, that's not exactly the case. And that there was a 2010 Michigan-specific study by a PhD candidate at the University of Michigan who came to the conclusion that the greater the density, the fewer alcohol-related problems you have.
Well, although I do remember hearing that I know even in the early 1900s, there was a point where basically in most downtowns, every other establishment was a saloon. I mean, do you think there should be some restrictions on that level?
Well, I think the market should be the restricting factor. We have no such half-mile rules for Taco Bells and Burger Kings. There is not empirical evidence to suggest that adding a liquor store next to another one or across the street is going to create more alcohol-related harms.
Now, there's a great idea, half-mile rules on fast food chains. That might might help our weight a little bit.
It's funny you should mention that. More people die of heart disease than die from alcohol-related problems such as car accidents, for instance, or the other 54 categories of the ways you can die from alcohol, then you could mm-hmm. make a case that our money might be better and our efforts might be better spent trying to address the obesity epidemic in the country rather than this particular alcohol density question.
About 30 seconds left, but going from a control state to a licensed state, is that when's the last time we saw that process occur, and how likely is that to happen here in Michigan?
It's funny you should ask that, because I believe no state in the union that was started out in 1933 as a control state has become a licensed state. So we would have a case precedence on our hand if that is something that the governor championed and was passed into law.
Well, and the loss of revenue, I'm sure, is not something people would want to see right at this moment, but we'll see where we go from here. Michael Lefebvre, he is the Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the program this evening.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the elimination of the personal property tax, how municipalities are going to be impacted directly. The Michigan Municipal League will be joining me to discuss that. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to 1320 WILS.